But I want to ask you a question starting out. And you can wave a hand or you can shout out, who's Michael Jordan? Do you know? Raise your hand. If you know who, really, seriously, do you know who Michael Jordan is? He's a what? Who is Neil Washburn? He's what? He is a doctor. He's a basketball player. I like it. So everybody kind of knows these two guys, all right? Jordan was probably the greatest player that played the game. That's arguably, probably, especially if you're a Laker fan like me. But there he is. But is really a basketball player really who Michael Jordan is? Who is Michael Jordan? And if I had that great PowerPoint, I'd have him here in a business suit and here in his basketball clothes, and we'd be asking, who is he? But that goes down to this. Who are we? Who are we? Oh, Neil, yeah, he's a doctor. But is that really who Neil Washburn is? And I had a hard time with this when I stopped preaching full time. I had me geared to, yeah, I'm an evangelist, I'm a minister, I'm a preacher. And then I didn't do that anymore, and now what am I? But I think maybe we fall into something. Do you get the point? If the totality of Michael Jordan's identity was wrapped up in his being a professional athlete, what is he now? A nobody? If it's all about you being a doctor, what if you weren't? Or would you be nobody? Who are we really? And I think Satan's working one of the biggest scams he's ever worked when he makes us have this identity crisis of who we are as Christians. Who are we anyway? Really, I like to present it different to different people, but I meet some people that I want to really, and I'm kindly, like, you know, we were talking about kindness and love and Bible class and so on, but kindly somehow ask them with my arm around them, how is your Christianity working for you? How's that really making any difference in your life? What's it really doing for you? Who are you really? You know, men do this, and I don't know if you ladies do it or not. I haven't paid that much attention because I'm a man. I don't pay that much attention. But we'll get together, and pretty soon the conversation will end up, what do you do anyway? And I'm honoring. I love to say, well, what time of day are you talking about? No, they're asking, what do I do for a living? Who am I? And if I can come off with some important sounding thing, then I must be somebody. I must be maybe worthy of their friendship or something. But again, who really are we? But if your identity as a person is rooted in your performance, you will always misdefine yourself, even if you're considered a success. Especially as a Christian, because it can't be based on our performance, can it? Well, we'll just be good enough, won't we? No. Somebody says, I'm really going to try harder now. Well, you may try harder, but you can't try hard enough to merit what my Lord has accomplished for us at the cross. Can't happen. Well, I'm going to go to church every Sunday. I'm really going to get into that book like Mark talks about. Okay. Got it. Will that make the difference? The issue has an important spiritual component because Satan knows that if he can keep you from discovering your real true identity as a Christian, he can hold you hostage. He can just keep confronting you with things that seem to be uncontrollable in your life. You just can't handle it. Why, there's no way. I'm just human. I'm just weak. I've always been weak, you know. He can block your spiritual inheritance and keep you from enjoying victory because you can't be liberated if you don't know who you are. Then I even had a picture of the whole congregation, would you believe? That's why for us as Christians, knowing our true spiritual identity is the master key to unlocking a door of victory in every single area of our life, bar none. We're overcomers. Romans. Overcomers. We must know who we are to understand that we need to turn to God, because you and I are who God says we are and not who Satan says we are. Don't you believe the lies of what people, how you get put into a slot, how you get put, well, you know, they're just. I had a hard time raising my boys because I, after a while, would slot them, say, well, you know, Al's always that way, Andy's that way, Tim's this way, and then there's Tina. Put them in a slot. And I know my boys did me the same way, because I can talk to them now, and I hate to admit it, but I got two that are in their 50s, okay? And I'm looking at them that they're still kids. But they come home and they tell me something about, you know, Dad, that's just the way you are. And I've changed. I've grown. I don't even begin to preach like I, when I started out. He said, well, we know. No, you don't. Who are we really? Well, Peter gave us some clues. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 and verse 23, as you see on the screen behind you. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us, and then this part's in red highlight, to be born again. One more time. All of you that's got it memorized, well, praise God. But you that don't, hear it one more time. Listen. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Born what? Again. Now, we all got here the normal way the first time. But he says, Christians, you've been born again. Then in, down in verse 23, same 1 Peter, same chapter, chapter 1, it says, for you have been born again, not of seed which is perishable, but imperishable, that is through the living and enduring word of God. Peter was writing about the new birth by which a person dies to the old self. That's the key to our identity. We haven't come to grips with dying to our old self. We are not born again and step into the same old self we were before we were born again. There's nothing new about that, is there? Something new has happened. Brother just asked me a few minutes ago in a real short conversation. It wasn't quite this long. But am I excited about being up here? I have never been, never, and I've been doing it for a long time, not been excited. The responsibility is awesome. But the Word of God is more. Born again. Notice that Peter didn't say anything about what we do for a living, much less what non-Christian can do to make themselves acceptable to God. What can a non-Christian do to make himself acceptable to God? Do more good stuff? We can't do more good stuff, and we've been born again. This is another key to evangelism. Good people, just because they're good, doesn't mean that they have a highway to heaven or that they're God's people now. This is so fundamental because it explains why even the best non-Christians are unacceptable to God. The best people, the ones that you live next door to, the ones that seem to have their life in order better than you do even. And the ones you'd love to work with, you love them for your neighbors. if I understand Scripture right, maybe I could get an amen, is they're separated from God. Without hope and without God in the world, says Ephesians. Well, surely all good people are going to be there. No, there's only one good that counts, His good. That we accept that. That's it. Nobody's going to squeak in because, well, I really didn't know, but I slid in because I was really a great guy. I really did everything right, better than most Christians I see. So we all know people like that, but does that put a little bit more consciousness of our place in the world as His people? Everybody that you come in contact with that hasn't been born again is lost. Every single one. Either that or let's take a penknife to the Word, okay? But the Bible says these people are not acceptable to God they're not acceptable because they've contacted a disease. And He spells it S-I-N. There's a disease that the blood of Christ is the only cure for. And the only place that you come in contact with the blood of Christ is through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus as portrayed in the watery grave that you go through when you're resurrected. Out of that water. That's the only place. I hear some people talk about baptism this way. Well, we believe that you ought to do it. And I want to ask, why do you believe that? Well, Jesus told us to. So Jesus told us to do something just arbitrarily to make us jump through some kind of hoop, huh? Romans 6. We need to be born again, not good again, not better again, born again. Then once we understand what has happened there, and it was so eloquently talked about at the table this morning, the whole sermon, the songs, everything. Do you know who we are? You know who our identity is. That very thing in us they can't shut us up. We must tell them. Remember the old illustrations where the preacher and the bridge is out and he's out there, don't go, and they go, whoa, whoa. No, the bridge is out. Whoa. That's us. Stop, don't. We're either a force or a farce in this world. Either we are people like that, or what are we doing? Trying to learn enough Bible to feel good about ourselves, or what? Birth determines identity on the human level. We know that. I'm a knight by birth. I'll always be the son of Pat and Don Knight. I'm not trying to be knight. That's who I am. My sons will always be my sons and wear that last name unless I don't know what could happen. The same goes for my children. They are who they are because they were born into our family, not because they performed their way into our family. Well, I don't know. Judy and I just didn't walk around and say, take that one back. They're there. And I'm responsible in a certain point for them. As my Lord says, will you let me be responsible for you? They don't have to struggle or work hard to be knights. Their birth settled the issue of their identity, and we have birth certificates to prove it. I really believe, elders or whoever, we ought to make a big deal out of baptisms. I mean, get them a real pretty diploma, remember their birth date, and part of the announcements on Sunday is, did you know last year at this time, so-and-so was raised from the dead, was born again in Jesus Christ. And we're all like, yeah, let's have a party. It's that important. Now, we always remember the birthday of our children. In fact, I get disappointed when they don't remember mine, and I've had a lot of them, but I still like it. Because it's important. Well, this is more important, all right? Remember, the opening illustration of Michael Jordan, we said that the problem of tying Jordan's identity to his basketball career is that he doesn't play anymore. And a lot of pro athletes have a terrible time with this when they leave the game. That's why you hear all these sports announcers on the radio and stuff. They're all ex-athletes. They don't know what to do to have a different life. In fact, the problem with some pro athletes is just this, and they go to shrinks and everybody to try to cure it. Take this case of a person who says, I'm a Christian, I've been born again, I have put on Christ in baptism, but I use illegal drugs. I've tried to quit many times, but I always fall back into the habit. I guess I'm just a drug addict. That's not who you are. You may be a Christian with a very serious drug problem, but you are a Christian if you've accepted Jesus Christ and been born again. You are. Or how about the one that says, you know, I'm a homosexual and I was born that way. I just like the same sex and that's just the way I am. No. You may be a Christian with a very serious problem, but that's not who you are if you're a Christian. And I'm not saying that you, as a Christian, shouldn't be responsible for your actions and what you do and so on. And if you're in sin of any kind, you have to work your way out of that. You have to trust in the Spirit to guide you out of that. And you have to take steps to overcome that. But it's not who you are. In fact, I really have problems with keep calling ourselves sinners. Those who practice sin? Really? It's probably that a person like this isn't really a Christian at all. That could be. But for the sake of the illustration, let's say that he is a genuine Christian and a true child of God. Then he's not a drug addict and he's not a homosexual. He's a Christian with all kinds of problems, okay? And what are we here to do to help him through those problems? You could also substitute other sins into the formula, such as this. Anything. You know, one we stay away from is food addiction. We don't like to go there. Why? It doesn't taste good. Okay. But how in the world can we... All of these things. Who are we? The overcomers. That's who we are. Peter wrote again, 2 Peter 1:4. Listen to this. In fact, I don't know who read it this morning, but God has granted to us his precious and magnificent promises so that by them we may become partakers of the divine nature. Having escaped the corruption in the world by its lust, or another translation, by its evil desires, we escape by trusting him. We don't overpower it. You're not that strong. Who do you think you are anyway? You're going to do it without being born anew, born again, trusting in Jesus Christ for your every breath and every move? Peter called it the divine nature because it is the very life of God. We have the very life of God indwelling us by his Spirit inside us. When you look in the mirror, I don't care what you think. You know who you are? A temple. An indwelling place where God lives. Overcomers with the power that the world doesn't understand at all. And we need to demonstrate it so they will understand it. I heard one preacher put it this way. When a community hears that the church is moving into their community, they ought to be really excited. Because why? Help is there. We're there to help, to teach them how to be overcomers. With that type of reputation. And we can have it. It's a matter of not letting Satan give us this identity crisis by telling us all the time how messed up we are. By the way, when you talk about messed up, what is the most messed up church that you ever heard of in the New Testament? I hear the echoes. Corinth. They were one fouled up bunch of people. Sexual living, somebody's got, you know the story. It's terrible. They hated it. They sat on each wrong side of they didn't like each other. They wouldn't even sit together. They didn't even like to have meals together. They were grumbling. They were doing this and that. And God says, saints by name is what he called them at the opening of 1 Corinthians. Those set apart for my purpose, saints by name. It wasn't their performance that it was all based upon. It was their position in the kingdom. Might put it this way. Here's an illustration. The story is told of the Queen of England was trying to get her daughter to sit still. You know, little kids. You know how we do.
Just sit still, will you? It's going to be over in a few minutes. Sit still.
Well, she didn't. And finally, the Queen said to her again, I said, sit still. What did the kid do? Wiggle, 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 wiggle. Of course. But then the queen said, sit still. Do you really know who you are? The little kid thought, I'm a princess. She sat still. Brothers and sisters, do we really know who we are? Then we must not let the world and all Satan has to throw at us knock us for a loop. The political junk that we hear, gosh, makes me want to throw out my radios and everything else I got that brings it into my house anymore. Well, I wonder what's going to happen. Who's going to do what to who and when and was that true and why? And that just stuff just takes up too much thinking. Can I help some way? How can I help? By being his in a world that really needs us. Really needs us. We read earlier in our old life that our old life's passed away in Christ. Well, if it's passed away in Christ, how can we keep doing the stuff that we don't want to do? If it's really passed away in Christ. We are no longer the people we were before we became Christians. When somebody passes away, we don't hold a funeral. And I've had to preach services like that, like you have, Mark. And we go out to the graveside, right? And after it's all over, the hearse is gone, the people are gone. Do we stand there by the grave and say, well, how about yourself? Once you've died to the old self, do you keep hanging out in the graveyard? Like, well, no. The old man's dead. Put away. Well, Will, it may be easier for you to say. No, I put on my pants in the morning. It wasn't easier for Paul to say. But we don't say it at all, that we're the overcomers. I hear more, you know, I'm just like you. We're just all ministers together. We're just sinners. Is anybody winning? We need the winners to tell us, hey, come. Paul says, follow me as I follow who? Wow. That's who the world needs. Not people who are trying to figure it out, but people who have trusted him and have figured it out. And here we are. And we're here to help. Should be a special number for the church, like 911, only it comes to the church. I don't know what number we're going to use, but we get the call. There we are. I was so impressed when my dad passed away in Barstow. And before I could get home, I was in Huntsville, Alabama at the time, or may have been in Germany. But I couldn't get home fast enough, you know. And I got home, and we went through all of that, and he passed away. And the next time I talked to Mom, she says, well, I have this wonderful help from our neighbors. They're bringing in food. We don't even know them. She says, they've invited me to church, and, you know, they got a great attitude. I think I'm going to go. It was the same group that sends out missionaries all over the world, 2x2, usually good-looking boys that ride bicycles. Where was the church? I'm a minister in the church. Where was the church? Nothing happened until I called them. After I got home, after traveling from Germany to Barstow, okay? Okay. Satan knows it, but he wants to keep us from knowing it so he can keep the handcuffs on us. If he can just convince us of our identity crisis, you're not a vent, you're not a priest, you haven't been to school, what do you know? What? But if we were freed, and everybody that comes in within our sphere of influence, in fact, I belonged to a business one time, and it was based on talking to people. You had to talk to people. And so the rule was, if they got within 5 feet of you, you talk to them about the business. See where that's going? What was the worst thing that could happen if whoever got within 5 feet of you, you somehow, some way, something was said about the Lord? Or maybe the only thing that you could say is, come go to church with me. That's okay. In fact, I saw this one preacher had this antidote for his congregation where he taught them that. He says, you know what we've decided to do? If we're in a McDonald's or wherever we're at, if we just hear of any kind of trouble from another congregation, from another group of people that's close to us, not a congregation, but a couple like, well, we don't know how we're going to make it, or anything, an argument, we just lean over and say, would you come go to church with me? They're going to think you're nuts. Yeah. But some of them will say, where do you go? What's it about? Well, if you come, you could just come sit with me. And you invite them and have them sit with you. And that's all it takes. Does it take a whole bunch of Bible to do that? It's who we are. We have to. What did Jeremiah say? It was in his bones, and it just, he had to speak. And you know what happened to poor Jeremiah every time he did? They'd do something else to him. Tarred and feathers, and I got to speak about it. My life verse, and we'll wind it up. I've been crucified with Christ, and it's no longer I that live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life that I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. It's no longer Will Knight who lives. You were right, they used to call me Bill. I figured out Bill couldn't get it done, so I just said, I'm changing my name to Will. Will's going to do it. He's going to trust in the Lord more and more and more. I believe God says through his Spirit, does it look impossible going into the hospital and having all that stuff happen? Does it look impossible, the things that you're confronted with? Bring it on, my Lord tells me. I can use it to your glory and his glory. So whatever we were when we came to Christ, did we really die? At baptism, please, as we take people to the elders' pool and we're going to baptize them into Christ, please take time to tell them, do you really understand what's about to take place? Do you believe this? Parents, it's not a time to say, I'm sure glad we got Sammy in the water. Well, based on what he's taught, you may have just got him wet that day. So we're saints and not sinners. Here's a one-question Bible quiz, and I think you've already answered it. If he can call Corinthians saints, then is it based on what we're doing? No. But can he tell if we are his by what we do? You betcha. Can't we? When a person sits down and says, I really love him, I'm for him. Man, I, I know what revelation means, inside and out, every vision there, everything. And you watch their life. My dad, when he was in charge of the railroad in Barstow, Santa Fe had the biggest running repair shop the Santa Fe system had. And I asked him one time, Dad, you've got about, 40, 50 electricians working for you on the railroad. How do you know a true electrician? It's really easy. He says, the true ones fix things. The ones that are not true electricians tear up more than they can fix. Christians, how do we know we're in him? If he's working through us, we can help people fix their lives, okay? We have the answers. It doesn't take years and years of psychology classes somewhere or something. It's an arm around them, sitting beside them, and say, hey, I'd like to introduce you to a friend of mine who can make all the difference in this world and the next. And because of who you are, they respond. Because they can see in your life, wow, I don't know what they got, but I wish I had some of it. How we go through those incidences of our life that are just knock you on the floor. You're down there wondering how you can ever stand up again because it's so bad. How we respond to that. Does that mean we skip, it's just so great that bad things happen to me? No. But it doesn't ruin our lives either. It doesn't give us paralysis where we are no good for anybody and even ourselves. Because if we believe what the young man taught at the table this morning, we know where they are. I know where my son is. Where's your people that have passed on in the Lord? I'm kind of anxious to go visit. So there we are. So the whole point of the lesson is simply this. We got to know who we are. And the Bible tells us over and over again, John 3, and I've listened to supposed Bible scholars explain John 3 until I'm blue. It means you must be born again. Well, they say, well, that doesn't mean really born again. That means born from above. Okay. Okay. Whatever it is, it's a new birth. Because old Nicodemus there, he couldn't figure out how he's going to go a second time into his mother's womb and be born. And Jesus says, duh. You really think that's what I meant? You teacher of, leader of Jerusalem? Born of the water and the Spirit. Oh, well, water is the embryo sac around you or whatever that is. Doc, you know more about it than I do. But, nah, really? No, baptize into Christ. I meant to read it, but let's go back and read it, and then the lesson's yours. Romans 6. Well, I can quote that. Good, you quote it while I read it, okay? He tells these Christians, who were God's people of all places in Rome. Was that a hard deal? Oh. Whew. He says, or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? Therefore, considering everything I've said before, therefore we have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. That's why I get excited. There may be somebody in the room and never heard it before. That you can walk in a life where the only thing God says and only thing he sees is what Jesus has accomplished for him. I knew the thumb drive would come in handy. This is Will, out of Christ. There he is. Good guy. Nice guy. In fact, back when I was younger, you might have even wanted me to date your daughter, okay? I'm a good guy. They went to my dad on the railroad and says, how come you never have any trouble with your kid? And he says, I can't figure it out. He's just a good kid. But that good guy is lost because he's sinning somewhere. And I could go ahead and name some that were obvious, okay? But in Christ, baptized into Christ, God's not looking at me. He's looking at Jesus. I'm covered by Him. That's who I am. That's who we are. And our leadership can make program after program after program after program to cause us to want to evangelize, to cause us to want to reach out, to cause us to be His people in this world. But till we understand who we are, our identity in Christ, His chosen one, His royal priesthood, His people, for His own possession, we won't do it. And once we get a hold of that, we'll be selling the building quick, guys. It can't house us when we get to that. Let's pray together. Father, we come before Your throne believing that many times I don't even realize what it means to come before Your throne, but it sounds good. Father, help us to realize what You've accomplished and what You continue to accomplish, and that You're working in this world through Your Spirit to accomplish Your will, and we can be a part of that if we allow You to work through us, no matter our position, no matter where we're at, no matter how we've been raised. You've taken care of all of that. And You've made us new, brand new again. And help us to be able to be so excited about that that kindly and respectfully, we just won't shut up. And You can use us to show the world that You're well and alive through us in the spheres of influence You have given us. We thank You for Your grace. We thank You for Your love. We ask You for Your forgiveness, for the fact that we keep trying to do it when You said, "I've already done it." Help us not to struggle to be Christians, because that's who we are. Thank You, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.